the discipline of fasting, it may be something of a dying discipline, or at the very least, one that's shrouded in questions and an unfamiliar territory. And yet it is absolutely a beautiful gift that's mandated to us to exercise, to utilize, to grow in, to seize and enjoy. And so as we attempt to learn the process, you know, come alongside of each other and say, what does this discipline look like? How do I unwrap this gift? I have a wonderful young friend who is going to tell you about his story today of attempting to become familiar with this great discipline, this great gift of fasting. So I'm really excited about you being able to hear from his journey in hopes that you might start your own fasting journey or just be encouraged in your own by the idea that others are coming alongside you to enjoy it and to learn to wield this weapon well. We have a very special guest with us today. We have Micah, who has joined us. And while he might have a family history of fasting, he has experienced it of his own volition this week. And I just want to kind of let you hear from him the benefits of having done this, what it felt like, what it looked like, his success rate, that sort of thing, and any insights that he might have gleaned from just taking the Lord at his word when he said, do this. Trust me, you want to do this. So, hey, Micah.
Hey, Jenna.
I'm going to first start just, will you just tell us about your fasting day, what it looked like, what you fasted from, how you did, and how you arrived at those things?
Yeah. Okay. So, I decided to take a fasting day on Tuesday. And so, I was responding to a message from Jenna just about, you know, she wants to get an experience from somebody who's done fasting. And I told her that I had a little bit of experience from my childhood. And back, my family would fast for a week at a time, just once a quarter or a semester or something like that. My dad was very much so into it. He's a pastor and everything. And so when I was little, we would do some fasting, and we would do it for a week, and it would be something, it wasn't really something that I was looking forward to as a child, and it wasn't anything that I really took a lot from, but it's something that I remember doing. And by the time I got into college, I had that whole discipline, if it was even a discipline for me back then, kind of just went away. It wasn't something that I thought was very important or something that I needed to do. And it wasn't something that really anybody else really talked about or was that I knew of anybody doing a lot. And so, and I was telling Jenna earlier, like, I didn't get saved until I was 21 years old anyways. And so, even back then, the whole fasting thing was not something that meant really a lot to me. And so, when I decided to do it this time around, I had absolutely no idea what to do or what I was doing. And so I didn't know what it was supposed to look like, or I knew it was going to be for a day. And I knew that I had to give something up. And so I didn't know if that needed to be food or if that needed to be whatever. And so I kind of felt like, for this, there are things that are going on in my life, and I'm kind of needing direction from the Lord. I'm kind of needing some clarity, needing guidance and all of these things in order to help me make these decisions that are coming up in my life. And so I thought that this might be the perfect opportunity to seek the Lord's guidance from this for all these situations. And so I decided, okay, there are things in my life that I go to instead of the Lord. And one of those things being just comfort food, sugary things like Coke and Little Debbie cakes and things like that. Netflix is another one of those things. And so I decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to give up all of these things. And I'm not necessarily going to give up eating or anything like that or you know, because those are things that I need to live. But I decided, okay, I'm not going to give up any of that stuff. I'm going to give up these things that I know to be something that I turn to instead of turning to the Lord. And so on Tuesday, that's what I decided to do. I was gung-ho about it. I was really excited about it. And then around lunchtime on Tuesday with, see, I work at a church and we're gearing up for Christmas and things like that. And so, especially this week and the fall and the next week are very stressful and like there's a lot going on. So this Tuesday was one of those particularly stressful days. And I found myself around lunchtime saying, I need a Coke. And I knew that the Coke was something that I'd given up. I said I was not going to turn to these sugary things that bring me comfort in times of stress. I was going to turn to the Lord. And I had an entire internal battle between myself. And but the thing is, like, nobody on my team knew that I was fasting today or on Tuesday. And so I didn't feel like I would get in trouble with anybody if I ordered a Coke. And so I ordered a Coke and I drank it and I felt better in the moment. And then when I got home on Tuesday, I was like, dang it, I messed up. And I couldn't give up this Coca-Cola for one day so that I can put my trust in the Lord. And so I tried it again on Wednesday and did a lot better. And the thing is, on Wednesday, when I decided, okay, I'm not going to turn to any of these things. I'm going to wholly trust in the Lord. And I had those battles constantly throughout Wednesday. Like, there were moments where I would rather have just sat down and turned on YouTube or Netflix or something and just take it easy and not think about, okay, I'm going to offer these things to the Lord. But that's what I did. And it's amazing because in that moment, like when I was laying in bed on Wednesday night, during this fast, I was able to just have so much clarity on, some of the things that are happening in my life. And so I felt like I had, some direction and I had a plan to move forward, with some of these things. And it's because instead of going to the things I would normally go to, I went to them with the Lord. And I used that time to say, God, like, I need an answer for this. And during that time, I was able to ask myself these questions and answer them. And it was amazing how the Holy Spirit just kind of worked in those moments where I was just quiet and listening. And he was able to just bring me clarity on the things. And I found myself thinking, like, I could have this all the time. and you know, fasting is something that, of course, I haven't done in decades and until this very week. And but it's definitely something that I want to make more of a discipline in my life. And so I'm going to continue to try. And I don't know that I'm going to do it every single week, at least not starting off, but I'm going to try to incorporate that into my life. And so, because it was very beneficial for me, spiritually. And so I'm grateful that, Jana reached out and even put this in my mind. And so, that's something that I want to continue to do.
Well, I know that, as an ardent believer, like you are, prayer is a part of all of our lives with the Lord. It's the one conversation we can always have. And so it wouldn't be new for you to talk to the Lord about the things that you were wanting direction about.
Yeah.
I'm certain that before Wednesday, you had asked him lots of times, please help me to see this. Please help me to figure out which way to go and have a peace about it. How did focusing on that on Wednesday change your conversation with him about those things or just in general?
I would say on Wednesday, the way that I did it didn't really change, but it was like you put it earlier, it was more enhanced because I was focused on, okay, like this is a day that I've set apart to focus on the Lord, and my normal routine of things, like I realized, like, okay, these are things that are I guess, inhibiting me from actually spending time with the Lord. And so on Wednesday, it was just enhanced because I took those things out of my life and I focused on the Lord. And I'm not sitting here saying like I heard the Lord talk to me or speak to me in an audible voice or anything, but there's something to be said about just listening. And like I was saying earlier, you know, you ask yourself questions that you already know the answer to. And I think that that's the Lord speaking to you as well, you know, like just making it clear to you, okay, like I'm here, like, cause I'm of the belief that I'm not able to answer those questions myself. But you know, I really think it was enhanced because like there was an extra focus on, okay, this day is been given to the Lord. And that's what I want to do. I want to say no to anything else that I might be tempted to turn to and say yes to the Lord. And it just made those moments of prayer, of just talking to the Lord and conversing with him and just spending time in his word and thinking about his promises and truths that are pointed out in scripture. It just enhanced those times. And so, yeah, that's how I would say it was different.
Many years ago, I worked for the Georgia Baptist Convention and we put on a summer camp for youth. And I taught the senior class with another guy on the team. And I don't even remember the context or what the lesson was supposed to be, but I remember I made a poster and I wrote the word Jesus on it. And then, we basically threw things at it. We had all these sorts of things that we stuck to it, put over it, you know, from saran wrap and bubblegum to marshmallows or whatever else. But it was a vision of he's right there all the time. The name on that poster never moved. It stayed in the room all day long. And yet it was all of the things that we put between us and him that made it harder for us to see that he was there. And so to some degree, fasting says, I am taking all of those things that are the marshmallows, the saran wrap, the bubblegum. Yeah. I'm gonna take them all away and I'm actually gonna see you a little more clearly because I know you're right here and you always have been. And yet I need that focus. I need that that clearing away of those things that might make it more difficult for me to actually see that you're here and hear what it is you're trying to say to me.
It's funny because listening to you say that, it's like what comes to my mind is like we just get in our own way so much. When like I heard it put this way, like you may be going through a storm in your life and you think about that passage in the Bible where Jesus is, he's on the water and he calls Peter out and Peter comes out to him and he sees Jesus and all of a sudden Peter's walking on the water in the middle of a storm. And then he loses focus and he takes his eyes off of Jesus and then he suddenly starts to sink. Well, Jesus is still there. He picks him up out of the water and he carries him to the boat and then the storm calms. And it makes me think like, okay, fixing your eyes on Jesus and not minding the wind and the waves and things like that is crucial. And even when we take our eyes off a little bit, he's still there. He's going to pick us up. He's going to pick us up and carry us back to the boat. And even before we get to the boat, like, I don't think we're at the boat yet. The storm is still happening, but Jesus is still there. He's still carrying us. And it's just we get in our own way and we get distracted by everything that's flying at us and everything that we're throwing at the Jesus sign. And, you know, and it makes it hard to see him clearly, but he's always still there. And, you know, that's another thing that, you know, I'm learning through this whole thing is, you know, I get in my own way sometimes when like I can be having these conversations. I could like have the answers. The answers are already there, like, you know, and I just get distracted, you know. And I think that's why I think fasting is such a cool discipline, because it kind of forces you to you know, strip those things away and have focus. And so
in that vein, then, can you tell me about some of the other advantages or benefits that you've seen through just having incorporated this now into your life?
Oh, some of the advantages. I learned a lot, you know, just about myself too. And it might not be an advantage right now, but it will be, because I learned, okay, there are things, you know, that I really need to say, Lord, like, I'm giving this to you. And I think an advantage of taking this time is the Lord being able to reveal those things to you and say, hey, like, this is something that you're unwilling to give up, and I need you to give it up. And he makes those things very clear to you and very prominent in your life. And so being able to recognize those things that distract you from putting your faith and your trust in the Lord alone, is a huge advantage.
One thing that I want to circle back to is, and you mentioned it when you were kind of giving us some particulars about your fasting day, was that when you tried it on Tuesday, you specifically mentioned that no one knew you were doing that. And so the question then hangs in the air. It says, if they had, would you have drunk the Coke?
If they knew, I would not have, and nobody would have allowed me to.
That's right.
Like, and one of the reasons why I failed on Tuesday is because, you know, I'm already an independent person and I already like to do things on my own. But it was one of those things too. It's like I had the cover of, you know, okay, I'm doing this by myself. Nobody else knows. So it wouldn't hurt anybody if I drank this Coke. And even though I'm fasting from it and I already told the Lord that I was giving it up. And so having people in your life that know and people that can walk through this with you can only benefit you. And so something I wish that I would have done, and I didn't do it on Wednesday and I succeeded, but that's only by the grace of God. But something that I wish I would have done is, you know, kind of fill people in. And I think, like, there's this idea, like, you don't want to be showy or boasty about, oh man, look at me today. I'm fasting. Yeah. I wish you were a better Christian. You'd be fasting with me. No, it's, and you don't want to come across as that. And so, that's another reason why, people don't really talk about it or tell anybody. And then the other one is for reasons like, I took is like, oh, nobody else knows, so I'm just gonna do it, and then I'll get away with it, and I'll try again tomorrow. But it's really beneficial to have people like in your corner, and I don't think telling people and informing people and letting people know, hey, like, this is a day that I've chosen to fast and give these things up to the Lord, and letting people know that, I don't think is wrong. And it's a way to help you stay accountable. And it's a benefit to let people in.
And quite frankly, you are a very young man at 28. This is not, if I were to guess, I would say most people believe that fasting is either gone by the wayside, it's a dying discipline, and it's and that's okay, or it's something that you do when you're old. I mean, most people don't think of young people truly grasping the significance and even the command to fast. And so to know that there are young people who, y'all do everything different anyway. I mean, your generation, y'all put your breakfast on a social media site. I mean, there's really not much that you do that you don't tell other people you're doing. And so maybe because it's this dying discipline, sometimes you have to put a spotlight on it, just like an endangered animal. You know, if you tell the world, hey, this is endangered, then you know what? People look out for them.
Yeah.
And so maybe if we wouldn't take it to such extremes, this don't let anybody know what you're doing, it's supposed to be done in secret, go into your closet, know, your right hand can't know what your left hand is doing. Maybe if we weren't to look at people funny or holier than thou, or maybe if you just said, I've never tried this before, or I'm just developing this discipline, but I'm really loving it. You should try it with me. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if it became one of those spiritual conversations that wasn't so awkward and it wasn't so dated and we didn't have to be so secretive about it, then the benefits that you've gotten in this last week, they could actually be, number one, enhanced, but number two, enjoyed by others. It's a great encouragement to me. I cannot tell you, there are a number of amazing young men that have come along in this ministry beside me. I can think of three right off the top of my head that these are phenomenally godly young men. I can say, I'm not that old. I'm not saying that I'm that old, but I will say, to know that there is a younger generation who gives a rip. Mm-hmm. It does something amazing to those of us who are ahead of you. It enlightens everything for us. There's so much dark that we see coming along beside us and around us. To know that there are people carrying the light so boldly and beautifully, it enhances my faith. Mm. It does something amazing to the rest of us. And so maybe we do need young people to just say, you know what, I'm not, take it for what you will, but I need you to make sure I don't drink up today. Mm-hmm. You know, but if we can start having those spiritual conversations and letting people into our discipleship process, then we'll have greater success at it. Mm-hmm. And it might just inspire them to say, I've never tried that. You tried that? Does it work? What does it look like? And don't be so skittish about letting people in your private journey that could become quite a powerful public journey.
Mm. It's like, it seems like conversations like this about fasting and all of these things seem to be reserved for your small group time, mm-hmm. or your Sunday school class time, or your Tuesday night gatherings and things like that. When, okay, like, yes, we're called, every day is supposed to be like worship. Like, you're supposed to walk in the light, and that's what your everyday life is supposed to be like. But it's funny to me how sometimes we as Christians, like, some of these things we want so badly not to come off as the holier than thou. Yep. And so we hold back from these conversations, even with our own friends, mm-hmm. Even with our own community. And I do want to brag on the guys that I know are very godly guys, and, you know, but we seems like we hold back from these conversations in our regular lives. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of something that, you know, I'm just thinking of right now, and it's kind of sad that, you know, we only have these deep conversations in our small group time, mm-hmm. and, after church or something like that. And, really, like, it could be powerful to have a conversation with a buddy of mine and say, hey, like, today I'm fasting, and that spur on another conversation and things like that. And having, like you're saying, like, what would it look like if everybody was doing that on a regular basis? And so but yeah, that I want that for our community. I want that for our generation, like, and, you know, the ones that are coming after us as well.
We've compartmentalized so much about Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny, like, I'm a very visual person anyway, but just this idea that there is a particular room in which you have those conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's your small group room, mm-hmm. or it's this area of the church, or it's wherever. You know, our deep disciplines are supposed to happen in a closet. Our deep spiritual conversations are supposed to happen in this room in the church. And there's just no biblical standard for that at all. Mm. I mean, the church is supposed to be homes. The church is individuals. How is it that we have so limited it to, it is not only is it four walls, it's these four walls.
Yeah.
And that's not the picture that we see in the church of Acts. It's not the picture, absolutely not the picture that we see in eternity. And yet it is so profound a picture that we kind of feel like we got to work at breaking out of it now.
Yeah.
And it's an awkward, you know, learning process to do that. I mean, even with your, with these guys that you talk about that are great godly men, it would still be weird.
Yeah.
If you just, you're sitting in front of a basketball game and you say, hey, I read this in my quiet time this morning. It's amazing. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
It's still be weird. And yet that's exactly where those conversations need to happen. And so those dearest friends of yours, they need to know that you're trying this. They need to know that they need to try it. They need to know that it'd be great for you if they would, you know, let's do this together. Or we're praying for, you know, a particular teacher for our new class. We're doing whatever. We need to fast about this. And it became such a normal flow of your conversation that it's just what you do.
Yeah.
It's who you are. It's a part of your everyday existence and disciplined life. One of the other things that that you had mentioned in the conversation, and I feel like there are benefits across the board for even an individual fasting. You had benefits that you saw particularly for you. You got clarity about the things that you were looking for direction about. You found out some things about yourself. And then there's benefits for the group. When you do this, then you know what? I'm really encouraged that you're doing this, and it impacts me. And the person that you have a conversation with, then they're going to learn a little bit about it. On the grand scale, are there some things that just surprised you in this way, or that you can say, I didn't see this coming? Are there some benefits that you seized on, or did this go like you thought it would?
It did not, because first, I didn't expect to fail the first time I tried it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be, okay, I've done this fasting thing before. Like, I'll do it on Tuesday and it'll be great. And, we'll kind of see what happens. I didn't really know how the Lord was going to speak to me, during this time. And so that's something that was also kind of I expected to hear from the Lord. I just didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And so I can say, for this situation in my life, I'm looking at some transitional stuff, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to go about it. And so I thought, when I expected to hear from the Lord, I thought he was going to provide a clear answer of how I was supposed to do it this way. Mm. Instead, it was a totally different thing than I expected, but it was also a step forward. Mm. I feel I didn't expect for that to be the answer. So I didn't know how he was going to speak, and that's one of those things too. It's in this faith journey, there are moments I can look back and see how faithful the Lord has been. I expected to hear from the Lord when I surrendered everything to him, and he answered. Mm. And because he is faithful and he is true, and what his word says is true. And so that's just another thing that just increases my faith and my trust in him. And it's also one of those things where it's why have I not trusted him to this point? And I think that's just the faith journey is, you go through these spells of faith is a gift, really. And it takes work, and it takes strength from the Holy Spirit too. And I would say I didn't expect to fail that first time. And I did. And I'm glad I did, because I learned about myself, and I learned other things that the Lord is requiring me to surrender to him in my life. And I would say I did expect to hear from him, and he came through. I think it's something that increases my faith, and it's a tremendous blessing.
The verse in Jeremiah, you will call to me and I'll answer you. When you call to me with all your heart, which means I can't have a divided heart.
Right.
I can't have a little bit of my heart going to Coca-Cola. I can't have a little bit of my heart going to Netflix. I can't have a little bit of my heart going here and expect to get those answers. Did you get answers on Tuesday? Did you have the clarity you were looking for Tuesday?
I did not have the clarity I had on Tuesday, because I was thinking about how I drank that Coke and just didn't do that. And it's like, it's not even that. Even on Tuesday, it kind of like another thing that I realized, like, I gave into this one thing at lunchtime, and then from lunchtime all the way till it was time for me to go to bed, it was just like a ripple effect, mm-hmm. like an avalanche, just kind of, okay, well, this whole day is a wash, right? And just like, man, like, I went into this day saying, Lord, I'm giving all of these things up to you. And then by the end of the day, I've checked off every single thing off the list. And like, I'm just like, seriously? Like, one Coke just spiral out of control. But yeah, you know, it's not something that's easy to do. It's something that is, it requires work and focus and intentionality, and it also requires the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, I say all the time, like, because I lead worship at my church, and I do a lot with music, and I'm on the platform and I sing a lot, and I like, and people will come up to me and say, oh gosh, you're so great at this, or like, the set list that you put together for this week was awesome. And I'd say all the time, like, thank you, because I don't want to be like, oh, it's, yeah, like, you know, but I have to, like, I cannot just dismiss the fact that if it were left up to me, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to, mm-hmm. to do any of that. Like, I can only give credit to the Lord, because, like, I recognize my life without the Lord is a broken Tuesday night mess. Like, it's like, because I try to depend on myself. I try to figure out, I try to come up with the answers on my own, when really the Lord holds it all together, and he's the one who provides. And, you know, and even like a simple set list that I think that I just came up with is inspired and orchestrated by the Lord. And when those things come together, I'm just like, I didn't intend for any of this to happen, but it did. I just got to get on my knees and worship, because mm-hmm. like, I can't sit here and take credit for that, because if I try to do it again, it's not going to happen, mm-hmm. you know? And so,
these are some lessons that you knew in advance, but that word enhance, I really do feel like is the perfect word for what fasting does for you.
Yeah.
It enhances focus. It enhances your awareness of what part is the Lord and what part is yours. And it enhances your view of the things that we hold on to and how tightly we hold on to them sometimes.
Yeah. It really does. And those moments where, like, I'm connecting with the Lord, like, I'm laying in bed or I'm driving in my car and things like that, is something that I've been doing since I became a Christian. Like, these are just ways I connect with the Lord. And like, another thing that I've learned from this fasting experience is that, you know, that those moments can be enhanced. And like, that was a cool thing, because it's like, it's also a scary thing, because you realize, oh man, like, do I have to give up Netflix forever?
Yeah.
And things like that. And it's like, you realize there are things that you're holding on to, and it takes humility. It's a humbling experience, fasting, because you have to let go of everything that, you know, you think makes you comfortable. And you have to surrender that to the Lord and trust in him. And, you know, in the moment, it doesn't seem like the Lord is better than sitting on your couch and just watching a dumb show on Netflix and not having to think about anything. But that's a short term. Like, if you're kingdom focused and kingdom minded, you know, like trusting in the Lord is going to render so many better benefits than this show ever will. And but when you're here on this side of eternity, that is much harder to grasp and accept. It's so much easier said than done. But
well, I think that you and I both probably realize at this point that there were benefits for you in doing this. Mm-hmm. There were huge benefits for me in you doing this. I literally, mm-hmm. I really can't convey enough. For those of us who have chased after the Lord for decades, and we have gone through seasons, and I'm sure you already have, and there will be others where you feel like you are just running all out and there's not a soul running beside you. And it is a lonely feeling to know that there are people running beside me. It really does change things.
Yeah.
And so, as is so often the case with the Lord, one little thing actually has ripples far beyond ourselves. Because you obeyed and you did this and you were willing to try something when, to your own admission, you didn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. You had to figure out even a game plan for the day. You got benefits from it. I got benefits from it. Other people are going to have benefits from it. And in the end, God is glorified.
Yeah.
And that's just like a many-fold win there. And that's the way the Lord works. And so when you offer something, I get a win, and I'm really appreciative of that. Mm. So my own faith has really been spurred by this whole process, and I am grateful.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you'd like to add about your experience, or something that you think that somebody who's not tried it before might do well to hear or be encouraged by?
If you've never fasted before and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to try this tomorrow, don't let failure be a deterrent. Mm-hmm. Keep trying it, and allow those moments of failure to, you know, allow them to bring up those areas in your life where, like, you're not willing to give up to the Lord, and really hone in on those and really ask the Lord to provide you with the strength and the endurance to give those things up. And he's going to come through, because he always does. And so if you fail once, you know, don't be saddened by it. If you fail 15 times, you know, keep going and keep trying. Keep really trying to make it something that's a discipline in your life, because that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to keep trying. And I don't know, like, if I'm going to have it down even next year, but I'm going to keep trying, because I know that every day is another way to learn more about the Lord. And the more you learn about the Lord, like, the more he's going to reveal to you about yourself and things. And so it just makes me excited to know, like, I'm going to keep trying this, and I know that there are going to be days where I fail, but I'm not going to let that deter me from trying it. And so the first thing I would say is try it. And the second thing I would say is it's a humbling experience. And it's something I feel like humility, like even in the Sermon on the Mount, and there's so many passages in Scripture where you realize, like, humility is where a lot of this stuff starts, and letting go of yourself and recognizing, okay, my life is not my own. It belongs to the Lord, and I'm on this earth to glorify him. And when I do that, he works things out for our good. And so, we may not see it on this side of eternity, but on the other side, it's going to be great, and it's going to benefit you and the people around you to remind yourself of that constantly, that you're put on this earth to glorify the Lord. And he should sit on the throne of your heart. And that's something that I'm learning through this process, and something that I think I will continue to learn until the day that I die, that the Lord belongs on the throne of my heart rather than anything else. And so those are my two things. There's probably more, but I can start rambling.
Well, like I said already, and I say it all the time, I'm a very visual person, and I feel like fasting is one of those things that, just like you said, the Lord deserves and belongs to sit alone, enthroned in our hearts. And a lot of times we don't even realize how many lesser thrones we've set up. And fasting just has a way of peeling those away and putting a little spotlight on them and said, yeah, you've put me here. Yes, I am on the throne of your heart, but I'm not going to share it. Mm-hmm. I'm not meant to share it with any other comfort or any other temporal thing. I need to rule here alone. And fasting has a way of just highlighting those other things in order to help us to figure out how to get rid of them at times.
Yeah.
And let them lose their grip on us.
Mm.
So, well, I have been enormously encouraged, and I really do hope that we get to do this together.
Yeah.
And next time you fast, then I will hound you like the dog if you want me to put down the Coke.
Yeah.
But I love that you've given yourself the grace, you know, to say I don't have to get it right every time.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us knows how to do this perfectly.
No.
And I don't really think there is a perfect. I think this is the way it looks for you even today. This is what God's laid on your heart today that is something you need to let go of at this moment. And tomorrow it will be something else. And for me, it will be something else.
Right.
But if I know what it is for you, then I'm in a lot better position to help you lay it down.
Yeah.
So. Well, I have enormously enjoyed this, and I'm so, so thankful that you were willing to put yourself through a Tuesday night and enjoy the benefits of All Day Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that God math doesn't make sense. 1 + 1 is never 2 in God math.
No. God math.
Yeah. God math says that you gave up something, and somehow at the end of the day, you had more.
Mm-hmm.
And you even let it spill over onto us. So
yeah.
I really, really appreciate your coming and telling us about your journey here. And I look forward to what all you will find as the Lord builds this discipline among others in your life.
So. Well, thank you so much for having me. And thank you again for reaching out. And I'm glad to have had this experience. And it's been fun. It's been challenging, and it's been fun. So, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you.